How's this for provocative? If you go back just a couple of years, about 2.5 years, as we headed into the pandemic for all of its mistakes and miscues and misdeeds by the government, both the governments of Oregon and Washington immediately threw up their hands and ran around like their hair was on fire, saying, well, we're going to be short of money. We're so critically short. We're going to be billions of dollars short. Well, it turns out they weren't billions of dollars short. They actually had record tax revenues, both of the states. But of course, running around with your hair on fire is a good excuse for saying, so let's raise taxes right now in the middle of a national emergency, and let's bring even more money into the government because the government can never have enough money. That seemed to be the approach. Well, now, having collected record amounts of money, at least in Oregon, the excess collections have to be kicked back to the taxpayers in the form of what's known as the constitutionally required kicker. In Washington state, not quite the same thing. In fact, Senator John Brown, who joins me now, points out that the governor of the state and the labor unions have decided there's all that extra cash. Why don't we just dip into it and see how much we can get for our members? Senator Brown, welcome back to the program. And did I get that right, or am I off key?
Thanks for having me, Lars. And yeah, I think you got it right. There's maybe a little more detail, but you're exactly right. This what the governor has proposed in Washington is frankly just shocking.
What is he proposing? Make this understandable for people who don't work in biennial budgets and billions of dollars like me and most of the people listening to this.
Yeah, so put this in context. We're in the middle of 40-year high inflation. We have policies from the governor and the Democratic majorities driving up costs for food, for gas, for housing. The governor has been absolutely adamant that he can abide no tax reduction for anyone. And then he goes and in a secret negotiation with the public sector unions agrees to pay at least $1.6 billion in new wages. These are raises on public sector employees. And just to put that in perspective, about 60,000 public sector employees, state public sector employees in our state, compared to 7.5 million people. So he's picking very selective winners. And by the way, these winners, they make more money on average in 38 out of 39 of our counties in the state of Washington. They have the best health care, the best retirement. They make more money. And he decides we're going to spend $1.6 billion in growing to give them raises while everybody else is left behind.
Now, Senator, I'm a small business person. I have three employees. They know they draw their salaries out of my pocket, and I give them raises. I've given them generous raises to try to offset the Bidenflation that we're in right now. But I also give them raises because I want to hang on to them. And I say, well, if I don't give some good raises to my people, they're going to leave and go off to some other job. But in state government, I very rarely see that happen. You know, when you grant a bunch of raises just based on you being part of a class, oh, you're a member of this union, you get a raise. That applies whether this is a person who's likely to leave or somebody who's going to stay anyway because they like the conditions you just talked about. You know, big paychecks, big benefits, generous time off allowances, generous pensions, and all that. Shouldn't government act more like the private sector and say, you know, we don't need to give this person as big a raise. They're going to stick around. That person we need to give a bigger raise to. We can't afford to lose him or her. But government never seems to behave that way the rest of the real world does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I want to be clear, I don't begrudge state employees making a good living. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm sure they're all fine people, or at least I hope they are. But what's shocking is the difference between how we're treating the general citizen of the state of Washington and how we're treating the select few who are already doing pretty well. And to your point, there's no evidence. We go through this every time, every collective bargaining cycle where they claim, well, we have to do this to retain state employees. Well, show us the turnover data. When you look at the turnover data, consistently, the turnover in Washington state employees is lower than other public employees at the local and federal levels. It's lower than the private sector. So it's not a turnover issue. And it's like they insist as long as the turnover is not zero, then they must have to pay more. And that's just not the world we live in. People leave jobs for all numbers of reasons. You have to look at how does that compare to the rest of the job market. And Washington has historically done very well in that area because it's a pretty attractive compensation system, and now we're going to pile onto that instead of taking an opportunity to help the average citizen. That's what's frustrating about it.
You know, I'm talking to Senator John Braun, and this is the thing that bothers me. In all this discussion where Jay Inslee is saying, I need billions of dollars to keep tens of thousands of state employees happy, is he at all proposing that any of this money paid by the taxpayers might actually go back to the taxpayers because they're suffering from inflation as well?
No, no. In fact, he's been adamant. We've produced many proposals on tax reduction, whether it's property tax reduction or gas tax, you know, set aside. We could easily afford it, you know, in that in a world where gas prices are now going up again. We even had a Democrat who proposed a sales tax reduction, and frankly, we loved on that too. But the governor can abide none of that. He needs every penny collected, and we see now what he intends to do with that money. Reward the public sector employees, who, by the way, are giving him millions or have given him millions of dollars in political contributions over the years.
Well, and here's the other problem, Senator Braun. Do you think that we're headed into a recession right now?
I do. I don't know how you can think otherwise. Now, I would caveat that it's the strangest recession I can remember in my lifetime. I mean, it's really odd. But you can't do the sort of things the Fed's doing with interest rates and what we're seeing on inflation and not fully expect a recession. In fact, there's some will argue we're already in a recession.
Well, see, and I think we are as well, Senator. In fact, I saw a number today that said 60%, a much higher percentage of Americans, are living paycheck to paycheck. They're barely keeping up with, and usually that number is a bit lower. So as we go into that recession, since Washington State gets a lot of its income from sales taxes, the result of sales, or B&O taxes, business and occupation taxes, if that goes down, then the state of Washington's income goes down. And once it does, you've already obligated yourself to pay these public employees at a much higher rate. Then the state's going to come to us and say, hey, by the way, since we granted all these people raises and now we have to lay some of them off, you're going to get fewer services and pay more money. That's the deal Jay Inslee is handing us, right?
You're exactly right. This is going to contribute to an enormous bow wave in state government spending at the time when we can at least afford to do that. It's setting us up for disaster in a ways that, you know, are fairly predictable. Again, I don't begrudge state employees an increase in wage, but why is now the right time? What does it make? It does not make sense. And I get that the inflation is high for them too, but they're also in a better position to weather the storm. And if we're going to do something for one group of folks in the state, why not do it for everyone?
I would agree with you. Senator John Braun, thank you very much.